if the Riotcasters were to receive day rates that are far exceeding their normal broadcast day rates, which they would, then that would create problems for Riot. And to be fair to Riot, they don't force their casters to go to ESL events.
Yeah.
Which I guess would be the absolute worst. So they have a choice, but a lot of the casters want to do these events because they enjoy their jobs, and it's one of the rare times where they can spend time with players and casters from other regions, and we can actually get together and chat and have a good time together. So people do it for that reason.
Monty makes it sound like if you're in the Riot world, right, you know, you've lived your whole life, you've grown up as a Riot caster, like, life's pretty cool, you know, you've been to Riot University, you've got your first jobs, you know, you've got your Riot doctorate, you're working at Riot, you're doing games, you love League of Legends, don't know what esports is, it's just League of Legends, that is esports, you keep working at Riot University for a while, you get farmed out for a job, but then you hear rumblings, right, you hear someone in a bar one time say, the secret, and you go, what secret? And you go, suddenly that guy's gone, that old man, when you look back, you do a double take, he's gone. But then eventually, right, it's like the Matrix, you know, if you really want to know what the Matrix is, like Neo at the beginning of that movie, you know, you seek it out, you know, you go and you ask around and you post on message boards somewhere and you talk to people and eventually you get pointed in the direction and someone says, follow down the street and first door on the left. So you go down there and there's this door you've never seen before. You open the door and you go down the stairs, you know, and there's like a sort of a dark cellar area and you come in and you think, right, what could possibly be down here? There must be some sort of like shadowy cabal or something. And when you get down there, right, there's nothing. It's just a dead end. But then you look and there's this tiny little area, right, with like a little like a copper thing covering a hole. And when you pull the you look around, you make sure no one's looking, the guards, the Riot guards, there's no one there. Riot Light is off duty tonight. You open the little copper thing and just scrawled in like a really crude text is just the word day rate. And just reading that word shatters your whole paradigm. Suddenly the world is in color. You didn't know you were in black and white the whole time. And the universe is just shattered. It's over. You are now the most dangerous man in Riot Kingdom.
And let me put this for you. So if you, like, let's just
fire Semler.
That is beautiful.
Okay. Semler, I've got a question for you. Would you like it if Room on Fire was a studio and you got to decide, events came to you, marketed with you, you did the development side of things, whatever, in terms of how the studio worked, almost, would you like that to exist in CSGO?
If I wanted to make money, yes.
Okay, I'm talking about a world where you're not just trying to fuck all of us. Like, can you conceive of like that sci-fi world for a second? It's not like a Black Mirror episode. Imagine that world. Like,
I don't know.
Okay, come on.
I think one reason as well that I really like that I keep coming back to Counter-Strike. I really like the fact that I don't know if this is necessarily true in any other game. I guess maybe in Overwatch, just because it seems to be like, you know, I don't want to say dying, but it seems to be drifting in a negative fashion. We'll say, I guess. But Counter-Strike seems to be
it's almost
a game.
Dead, bro.
It's the way he said that as well. It's not that it's dying; it's just negatively living. And here's why that's a good thing. That needs to be a common meme, by the way. Like, Anders brought that back. That's legit. I like that a lot.
I listened to your interview, Duncan, with Dominator that you put out yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Or 2 days ago, whatever it was. And he said exactly what is kind of true, was true for me for the majority of my life, for maybe like the first 15 years of me playing Counter-Strike, was I never really considered myself a gamer. And just like Josh said, he said, I don't consider myself a gamer. I'm just a Counter-Strike player. He's like, that was me. Like, I didn't play anything like Counter-Strike.
Well, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't fuck with like any other game really, except for Counter-Strike. Like, I didn't play any of the, I don't really play BRs. I've dabbled in a couple when I've had to cast an event, but for the most part, it's just always been Counter-Strike. It seems like there's a lot of people in that boat, because you'll remember, especially from back in the day, and I think we have the players who have like the personality in Counter-Strike that can show it off, but this wasn't like a game for the nerds, so to speak. Like, you had people who like blew out their ACL like playing football or basketball and needed the competitive outlet.
Tons of people, and
that's one thing that always drew me and kept me involved in Counter-Strike, was this isn't like a nerdy, like, you know, sit in the basement in the dark game kind of a game. This is actually like you're supposed to be here competing. And if you're not actually competing in Counter-Strike, why the fuck are you playing?
You've actually made me realize. Forums
is like bodybuilding.com.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, the joke used to be that we all used to say is like every single post on ESEA forums was like a fucking bodybuilder, like investment banker, like fucking pickup artist, only fucks dime pieces who have exactly the facial makeup that he likes and rate. Like they were the most ridiculous humans that they all bought Bitcoin at $1 and sold it at 9,000. Like they're the most ridiculous humans on the planet. Meanwhile, we all know they're just some sweaty little nerdy fuck who's just like, it's like, but they are sort of broke. You're right. They were more like the fucking proto 4chan in some ways. You know, it's that sort of crowd. One thing I've noticed, okay, is I have actually. Do you want to know something sad, Monty? Actually, after one of our early episodes that we did of this series that we're doing about me and Loco covering worlds and stuff, Loco actually had to tell me that I should dial it up a bit and be more confrontational with him because I was actually sort of being too good a teammate, you know. I was like sort of letting him say any old bollocks. Like there was one episode where I let him try and literally say that like TSM 2016 was the best Western team to ever attend a world championship. And I actually let him like say all his points, you know.
Without what the fuck
like,
is I know, wrong
without,
with
without, without, now, I did completely disagree with him on all points and say that he was wrong, but I didn't mock him. That's the problem, okay? I didn't deride his whole philosophy. But you know the thing I've realized, Monty, is if we're going to bring the old gang back together, we've got to get the old dynamic back together. So that means I've got to sort of assume my old personality. We've got to go back in time and summon the Thorin of 2014. So here's how
can we summon the logo of 2014?
We'll see.
Sure.
Where he just chain smokes. He just like chain smokes on his desk.
You know what? I can feel what it's like to be maligned. You're just a man trying to get your words out there to the people without that middleman. You're just trying to get it out there, and people take what you say wrong. They try and say it's bad or it's racist or you're aligned with the alt-right, and none of these things are true. Sometimes you're just a guy trying to make everything great again. Trying to make
today I learned again. Donald Trump fucked up Pepe. Today I learned.
He did actually, yeah. That's probably the worst thing he did. He fucked up Pepe for all of us. That used to be, if there's one thing I knew, Loco, because the good thing about Pepe's was the sheer variety of Pepe's. I mean, Pepe's are the spice of life. Like, you used to have every single team version when they'd be in a hoodie, smoking that cigarette, drinking the party.
They have one of me. There is like a Monty Pepe. Like,
it's the shit. Those used to be the shit. Now we have to go with some other thing, like Groiper or something. No one, that's not as cool. No one even knows that.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. No world politicians even use that one. So like, we haven't even got the, haven't even been bigged up by any presidents of the United States or anything. By the way, that alone is one thing that is worth it. Like the surrealness of the fact that like a president of the United States did use Pepe on that is amazing. I can't lie. Wait a minute. Just before we go on.
What?
Speaking of beating Samsung. Has someone beaten out of you saying Samsung or whatever it was that you said before? Because first of all, I noticed, I already picked up on this earlier when you said Longzhu. Why would someone who lives in Korea ever say Longzhu when it'd be Longzhu? And we all know they can't say the letter Z. So what is going on right now, Ellis? I need to know what's happened to you. Did you die at LCK and you're like a clone or something or been replaced like Paul McCartney and the Beatles and I Am
He's
the Walrus? What's going on right now?
Transferred back to NA.
Yeah, what's going on right now, Ellis? Come on. You were in
had to be,
open up.
I had to be conscious of how I was saying it during the cast.
Okay.
That's literally it.
There never was a cast. Exactly. The internal Tempo Storm casts.
Yeah,
if indeed Tempo
Storm's
still a thing at the time of this.
World's 2016.
Yes, World's 2016. Okay, but that they broke you?
Yeah.
Man alive. I never thought I'd see
the
day.
No more Samsung.
Never thought I'd see the day.
You know, it's weird. When I talk to a Korean or something, I'll actually still say Samsung. But if I'm speaking like English with English speakers, I'll say Samsung now. I don't know. Weird.
Okay. Well, RIP. Right. Regardless of how they actually decide it in LCK, should BDD be the MVP of the split?
He's been a statistical monster, so who else would get MVP? No one from SKT. Probably no one from Samsung.
He shared the points with Kuro, but...
It makes way too much sense to just give it to him. I can't think of anyone else where I'd be like, huh? This player was a standout.
I mean, Khan was a standout. I mean, he came in against Mar and Smeb and everyone else, and he lit everyone up. Against everyone's expectations. I was the only person talking about Khan in December. The guy is a fucking...
Them's Arvin Jafe, though.
I mean, he had a lot of problems an LSPL, but let's see. I think that
I appreciate you, mate.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
good job. But
I think he's probably the like.
Come on, you ready to say some ridiculous shit? He's probably the best top player in the whole world. This.
Yeah, he probably is.
There we go.
Like, he's probably the best in terms.
Top player in the world.
Mechanical.
Yeah.
Right.
Mechanical.
So yes, mechanical. Okay. But I don't know why that statement like gets scoffed at or something. Like there is a clear difference between how a player controls the avatar and the champion. I said this about Crowned at Worlds, and people wanted to say no. Like. Okay. You don't just determine someone by their damage per minute, kill participation, sure. and everything. If yeah. someone
well,
can clearly
team,
control
team factors play into that, sure.
Team factors and like other stuff that can indirectly affect it. But watching how someone controls the fucking champion, he's better than Smeb, he's better than Marn. Like I don't give a shit if you can't see that is the reality of the situation. If you watch him control his champion.
Like, I actually think this is where Counter-Strike can't go much further than it has now. I think we've done an amazing job getting, like, a broadcast product. And I think I'm amazed, by the way, so many people play the game. I'm amazed when we hit those viewer peaks. Because I don't really... player peaks, by the way. Because I don't really get, actually, what the average player gets from playing the game. I think watching Counter-Strike's pretty disconnected from playing the game. You don't have to play it at all to have the same enjoyment, in my opinion.
I'm so sad because the example you just had for matchmaking, I have the same thing in level 10 face hit, right? So it goes really high up. Goes really, really high up, but I'm just going into place and then I see these two guys behind me waiting. And I'm like, but what are we, what about long?
Yes.
He's gotta be behind us.
So yeah, that, my other joke always used to be, it's like when you play whenever you play those games, it's like their character just has a slower like movement speed because coming out of spawn, you always seem to overtake a maniac. It's weird, they're getting caught on boxes.
I'm the shoes.
But, you know, yeah, the it's shoes. Weird. I don't know why. I'm just I'm like a speedrunner, mate. I can always get to the fucking chalk point fast somehow. It's whiz, isn't it?
I agree. That's why I can understand really to separate very strictly casual and competitive, fine, because I don't think the same rules apply, which is why I think the short games are cool, like these 9 rounds, mm-hmm. whatever. You're casual, want to have some fun. Let's go, just do a short game. Who wants to play 50 minutes of Dust 2 or Nuke when no one knows the position he wants to play? Because you won't have fun. Sure, yes. Individually you can carry if you're really good, and that, I guess, that's the difference between a mobile and Counter-Strike, is that if someone is feeding bottom lane, that's it. You probably might not win the game. You can carry in Counter-Strike. But the tactical threshold is really high, and a lot of people don't have it. So I actually struggle to see how they have the fun, and I'm amazed that they have fun when they do it, because I don't even know. Even myself, I go crazy sometimes. I stream in the morning, I go crazy, because the threshold is not met, and it turns into an absolute clusterfuck.
Yeah,
and I will say as well, by the way, you know when I said like in five-a-side, you also need like to have a proper stack, otherwise it's not fun. I will say as well, it's not even like it's that much fun even when you play on the third-party apps. Like, mate, you don't know how many times I've played at like 2:30 a.m. Maniac, and I would have like active pros. I would have like NBK or like fucking JW or something. Someone like that would be on my team, and even they're getting farmed by the fucking vampires that just live and play 8 hours from 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. Or like, you know, those fuckers, like those. The people think we're joking. Those people are like better than Zero. Like, they're unbelievable. They're like, listen, let's be real. It is because they are just knowing that no one good plays at 3 a.m. So they are just benefiting from that factor. But these people, like, you would never seen Ferrari peaks at these motherfuckers.
I know.
Off. They know every corner. But it's, if they don't wall hack, they actually just study the game. Like, it makes no sense for face it. Like, why would you be studying the game? You're like, you know, because what's bad is you're not a pro. You're nowhere near a pro. But you're wasting my time as though I'm actually playing against Gambit now and I'm trying to have fun. I'm just trying to go like, it's my Mac 10, and then they're like covering all angles with like flash assists, like get the fuck out of my face. So
I've been pleasantly surprised during the time I've had my Patreon and my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati, by both the financial support they've provided and the moral support. And so this video was kindly supported and made possible by Starlust, Theo Buenzelli, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Racula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, BotPounder420, Yerka86, Tosh, and as always, you know it, a special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in one of those AMAs where I tend to go pretty in-depth? Sometimes they even spin out into their own videos. Do you want teasers to find out who the upcoming guests are for the myriad of interviews that I do across esports? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest? We have a channel on my Discord where you can do that if you're at the right tier. And of course, you could potentially take part in one of those lengthy esports discussions with me about whatever is on your mind in the scene. Well, if any of those perks sound tantalizing, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.